Hello, and welcome to the Journey Artists Around the World. I am your host, Kiana the Artist. The Journey Artists Around the World is a platform designed of artists to market their content, promote their artists by showcasing their artistic talents, ability, gifts, and powerless. Platform also offers an opportunity for the audience to hear, learn, and get inspired. Through the program, we will open your mind to share and listen. It is also important for us to state the creativity who have overcome different struggles such as depression, discrimination, disability, and are highly recommend to become for and share their life stories. Thank you for our guest on tonight, Fine Hall. And how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing great. Thanks very much indeed. Thank you.
Thank you. And can you tell everybody where you from?
Where I am? I am in a little village of about 1,000 people in the northeast of Scotland called Newport Sligo. Our nearest town is about 35 miles away, Aberdeen, or big city, should I say, big for here. So I've lived in Scotland pretty much all my life, born and raised. I did live away for a few years as a late teenager, early 20s, but yeah, this is my home. I love it.
Oh, wow. Interesting. And can you please tell us more about your journey as an artist, as a poet, and how life has been as an artist?
I think I first started writing stuff not as a kid, probably about 18. Again, about 18, I started writing stuff. And it was kind of mainly, I can't sing, and I cannot play a single instrument. I'm pretty much tone deaf. And I ain't got no rhythm either. And I just started writing these melodies in my head and putting words to them. I wrote the words down because I can't write music. The melodies just disappeared straight away. But I wrote all the words down and, you know, like typical 18, they were fairly rubbish, a lot of them. And then from that, I just developed onto writing poetry and stuff like that. One of my early inspirations came through music was Leonard Cohen. I love Leonard Cohen. I still love his work. I still love his writing. His writing's nice and dark and deep and funny at the same time. And I just started writing and less putting music in my head to it. And I just developed from there. So back in 1972, I was 19 or something. I sent a poem into Sounds Music Paper, which are now defunct music paper. Sent a poem into that, and they published it, which is quite incredible. You know, I don't know why I sent it in, but I just did. It's a music paper, for goodness sake. And I sent this poem in called "The No Game Game," which was kind of like, at that time, there was a lot of trouble in Northern Ireland, and the British Army was in Northern Ireland. And at that point, I was in the military, voluntary in the military. And I didn't agree with the military being in Northern Ireland, so I had to send a poem. I had to send the poem in anonymously, obviously. But they published it, and it was kind of like an anti-war poem. Ironic, coming from a soldier, like, but my conscience is always got the better of me all the time. And that was my first. And I've been kind of writing ever since. I think I slowed down less back at the beginning of this century. I've not much work stuff in between then, little bits of scribbles and such, but I just kind of drifted away. I had one other thing published in the mid-90s and just some huge tome, which is to pay about $5 to get your poem into. I have the book here, just the huge thing. And just for that, you know, that's it. And nothing at all. And just kept, and then I picked up writing again somewhere about 2017, I think. 2017, 18. I just started writing again. And because back then I'm an older guy, I'm 71, so back then I'm a 65th, when I turned 65, I thought, oh, I want to do something now, I want to do something different with my life. So I started in Aberdeen a three-monthly live storytelling event. I'd never done anything like that before. I'd never put on any gigs, I'd never spoken public before, I was quite shy. And I put on this gig called Everybody Has a Story, which is based on the American podcast radio show called The Moth.
Okay.
The end of The Moth. And it's just for people, you know, ordinary people tell stories. And that was a tagline. It was everybody's a story, you know, ordinary people, extraordinary stories. Because everybody does have a story. And it doesn't matter if it's like a holiday story, a broken romance, a, you know, death in the family, a trip to the mountains. You know, everyone's got a story for something happens to them. Good, bad, or whatever. And I just got people involved in that. And it just expanded and expanded. And
interesting.
It was getting so busy when we did the lockdown. I actually just had to find a new venue because it was getting too big. And then COVID came and killed it. And it just hasn't started again. But I just got on with my writing and my poetry. Got away from storytelling and into a different kind of storytelling now, yeah.
Interesting. And what would you say are your accomplishments that you are proud of? Have you published any books or products or any visual contexts like CDs?
And I know I'm only here to promote myself, but sounds arrogant. I am proud of pretty much everything I do. But at the start of lockdown, I started this this journey into serious poetry and involved with other people, where I wrote a verse and got someone to write the next verse, taking any word from the last line of my verse. And before you know it, I had 100 different people around the world joining in. And that book, that became a book, it became Joined Up Writing. And then people wanted a second, and then a third. So there's actually 3 volumes of that out there, Joined Up Writing, which I'm extremely proud of because it's linked people, as I say, 280 odd people from around the world. Some of them not even poets. You know, their only published poem is in this one of these 3 books. And then having my own collection, and in this past 3 years, and I know there's a lot more experienced people than me, but in this last 3 years, I think I've had work in about over 40 to 50 both book and online magazines, books, fanzines, whatever, throughout the world. And now I just publish my own stuff. I publish anthologies by lots of other people, and I'm extremely proud of that. You know, it's just, and I know poetry books now, everybody's got a poetry book out. But when you have your first poetry book and you hold it in your hand, your very first time seeing your words in paperback or hardback form, you know, everyone remembers that feeling. And if I get someone's poem who's never been published before, and I publish it in one of my books, and just the delight to see that. I don't make money, but I don't do it for money. I do it for the love of the love of the art. It's as simple as that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow. And can you please tell us more about the struggles that you have overcome so far? What has it in able you to overcome such struggles?
I I don't know. I haven't really struggled. The only thing I've struggled with in my life is genuinely, I didn't have a happy childhood. I didn't have an unhappy childhood. It just was. But I've always been extremely shy, extremely lacking in confidence for everything I do. I've never been great at doing anything. And to overcome that, overcome the fact that I can do this now. I can stand up, I can speak to people, I can speak to strangers. I am one of these people. I retired this year, but I drove a taxi for 45 years, and my wife just can't understand how I could drive a taxi for that length of time, because she says I'm quite an unsociable bastard. I like people, but I don't like wasted small talk. My grandchildren, some of my grandchildren are the same. We'll talk about stuff, but it's just like, I don't like boring people. And I don't like negativity. So I just kind of always shied away from it, and I have no confidence. But the very first time I stood up stage, not my stories, stories are fine, people like stories. But the first time I stood up and read a poem, and I was at a night, it was 2019, and a friend of mine who deceased, who passed that last year, the year before, and she worked with an arts company in Aberdeen, and they were putting on like a fringe festival, and they were having a poetry night. And then I had a storyteller night part of it. Poetry night was first, and she says to me at the night, she says, oh, you want to go up and do a poem? And she never knew I wrote poetry. She never knew I did that. And I said, oh, no, I don't have anything. But at the break, I actually wrote a short poem on my phone. I don't have it. I deleted it for some reason. And it basically was just a poem advertising my spoken word night the following night, you know? And I saw this little 8-line, 9-line thing got a good reaction from people, and I thought, wow, I can do that. And that was the turning point, the turning point to have confidence in my poetry writing. I say, not my storytelling writing, because all my stories are true. It's stuff that happened to me. So that's, you know, I don't have to make that up, you know. And that was a turning point. That's the only real thing I've had to overcome is confidence, just a lack of confidence.
And what would be your advice to other poets facing similar challenges that you have managed to overcome?
You know, just do it. You know, you just have to, do it, because, you know, especially if you do live stuff. I do some, but I don't do so much because it's a long drive to where the gigs are, unless I put one on myself locally. But for new people who've got something, you know, people come, let's just say this, my storytelling too, to all the people who's never done anything before. They beaver away at home on their phones and their iPads or on bits of paper or whatever. Just do it, because people will come. If people's coming to something, they're coming to see you. You may just be the first act on the show, but they're still coming to see you too. It's not like comedians. Comedians have a bit of a life because they've got a reputation. They get heckled. Whereas poets and spoken word artists don't get heckled often anyway. They just they come, just do it. Just people come to see you. People want to hear what you're saying. They may not always like what you're saying, but you're not going to get booed, because spoken word artists, writing artists, generally, as you know, Kiana, they're quite nice to each other. You know, they don't go, oh, well, that was rubbish, but they'll just politely applaud. So. And that's all you need. Just need to know that people are listening. Just do it. You know, the only advice I always give to people. I mean, I, I got contacted just over a year ago by a young guy from Pakistan. Yeah, who knows? Pakistan. And he says, oh, I've only been writing poems for three months. Guy's maybe 20s, late 20s. And he says, would you be able to help me? And I went, yeah, why not? You know? And now he's writing some great stuff. He does what he does. His style's his own style. He's finally found his voice. And now he's looking to publish something next year, which is wonderful, just because you just need someone to give you that, yeah, you can do it. And you can do it.
Mm-hmm.
That's all. Be nice to people.
Mm-hmm. Very interesting. So we know that you have a poem for us. We'd like for you to tell us one about your poems.
Yeah, I'm going to read this one. This is one. This one's actually goes back 4 years. I wrote this one. And it's more of a performance poem. It's one that I used to do live. I might do it again because I really like it. And it was written because when I was doing this fast poem project with all the poets writing a verse, there was one guy said he would do it. And every time I contacted him, right, it's your turn now, he ignored it. And then I just publicly put online, I said, a few folk had still got to do it, and just, you know, tagged them. And he sent me a message and fell out with me. I'm thick-skinned, I don't care. And this one's called Lessons in Breathing. Inhale and hold. Breathe out and relax. Breathe in again and slowly, slowly, slowly out. Close your mind. Focus on your breathing. Loosen your shoulders. Breathe. Push the negatives away. Banish. Make them vanish. But with you around, it's hard to breathe. Not that you take my breath away. The opposite. You make me want to hold yours. Poor you. Unreliable you. Poor me. With you around, it's hard to make the negatives vanish. The jack of all trades, the master of one, the promises unkept, the false tears that you wept. Ha! Call me. Don't call me. I will. You didn't. I can't. You could. Poor you. It's as if you're the only one feeling this. It's as if you're the only one not getting kissed. You're not the only one locked in the room. You're not the only one feeling the gloom. Poor, sensitive you. It's you that wanted a friend. I wonder, to what end? Poor little you. Unreliable you. So all of a sudden you find you can. Suddenly you find you will. How can you breathe with your voice so shrill? How can you stop feeling sorry for yourself? Now, never expected that. I know how. Grow up is how. Take responsibility is how. Commit is how. Follow through is how. Be reliable is how. Stop being sensitive is how. Do what you said is how. Glad you're not dead is how. Except in the head is how. And breathe. Inhale and breathe out. And relax. Breathe in again and slowly, slowly, slowly out. Relax. Close your mind. Focus on your breathing. Loosen your shoulders. Breathe. Push the negatives away. Vanish. Make them vanish. And what I'm doing when I read that, I'm actually sitting here breathing and loosening the shoulders too, so it's a good exercise.
Nice, love the poem. So as a poet, what is it like to be on our platform, the Journey Artists Around the World podcast?
It's great, it's fine, it's Yes, it's lovely. It's always nice to get invited to do something and get to do something new. And a new style. I love the style of podcast where you're focusing on artists from around the world. It opens up many ears, you know, so other people have got a chance to hear you. I love it. I love what you do. It's a challenge being 2:30 in my morning, mm-hmm. but that's fine. I'm good with that too. But it's great. I'm so very pleased to be invited. It's great.
Thank you. So we know that you have a second poem for your guests.
Yeah, I've got to do this one. This is one that's it's kind of real. I don't often write real poems. Sometimes I do. About me, should we say. And I wrote this one when we came out of fast lockdown. And I was sitting in my taxi in the city. There's no work, absolutely no work at that time. We were driving like a 70-mile return journey for like $20 a day. It wasn't worth it. And I just sitting in my taxi and I wrote this. It's about the problem of being deaf. I'm hard of hearing. It's about the problem of being deaf, and it's called, it's one of my favorites. It's called Closed Captions English Standard. I wear hearing aids and I'm what they call profoundly deaf. I hear, but sometimes I have difficulty picking out the actual words that people are saying. I find it hard sometimes to catch all the words that my fellow poets are saying when they do their reading. I wish the world came with subtitles. I mean, it's bad in my taxi with masks and the screen between me and my passengers to get them to speak clearly and give me their destination. I wish the world came with subtitles. Watching TV, it's great when the programs have closed captions, but I hate it when they don't. Or some on-demand shows don't, or when the words are behind the actual audio. Wish the world came with subtitles. In this constantly masked-off world, concessions are made for many, but city centres are blocked off for disabled people, and deaf people can get out, but can't see what you're saying. Wish the world came with subtitles. I play my music too loud. My radio goes on too loud. My podcasts go on too loud. I'm not too proud if you ask me to turn it down. I don't know. I don't realize. I can't be sure how it sounds to you. I know how it sounds to me. Loud. But not too. I wish the world came with subtitles. Hearing aids aren't perfect. They don't make things normal. They help. Look, I'm not ignoring you. Your words are important, very important. It's just, well, I can't explain, which is strange for one who uses words to make a point, tell a story. But you know, I'm sorry. I wish the world came with subtitles. I take them out, almost silence. Can barely hear the washing machine, the noisy washing machine when I'm in the kitchen beside it. The morning alarm. It rings for ages, disturbing my wife, waking up when she doesn't need to be awake. I don't hear it until it gradually gets louder. I wish the world came with subtitles. I wasn't born this way. It's hereditary. My grandma, my father's side, then my dad. You never went and seen about them. Then me, and now my daughter. My grandma's aid was big and hung in a strap beneath her top. It squeaked feedback if you went too close. You had to speak into the box at times to be heard in a world before subtitles. I do sometimes enjoy the silence, switching mine off or taking them out, being alone in my head. Enjoy the silence of being at one with me. But then I still need to know when I get shouted down for tea. And yes, I realize I should check to see if the volume on my phone is up. But wouldn't it be great if the world came with subtitles? Floating in the air, words destined for only the people that they are meant for. Or flick an imaginary switch and you can see everybody's words floating, soaring, shouting, swearing, counting, caring. Perfect for finding words for a found poem. The silence of constant chatter in a world where words do matter. Choose your font, choose your language. Hit translate, was that? Ah, too late. Your word escaped in the breeze to hide amongst the trees. A world not perfect, but with subtitles. There you go. Closed captions, English standard.
Right on. Thank you for that. Interesting. If you were to offer advice to the next generation poets who wish to become a re-owned poets, what would it be and what steps would you recommend them to take?
I would say just write what you feel. Never be afraid of asking advice, and never be afraid if someone says to you, you know, that line might look better like that, or change that word. Even now, if someone says to me, you know, that you should maybe do that there, I'll look at it and go, yeah, you're probably right. You know, it just needs a different eye. As I said before, don't be afraid. It's your art. Only you can do your art. Only you write how you write. And don't let anyone tell you otherwise. And then that way you just keep plugging away. Go to as many live gigs as you can. Get a space. Go to... find Zoom shows. Even now, Zoom shows are still a great place for new talent to be seen, because it opens it up to other fields. Don't be afraid. Just do it. Don't try and leap too quickly. You know, don't. Oh, I've got half a dozen. You know, a dozen poems. I want to get them published. Hey, don't rush. Don't rush. You've got your whole life. I mean, I didn't start till later on. Don't wait as long as me. You know, don't wait 50 years. But just, you know, take your time. The world will wait for you. Just keep writing and keep putting yourself out there.
Nice. I love that good advice. So I know you have one more poem for your audience.
Right. This is a fairly recent one. And this one is at where I'm at just now. And this one's probably going to be, I'm looking to put another collection next year. And the collection's going to be called Poems from the End of Time. I'm going to have a select few other author writers in it as well. And it challenges, the thing I've found since I've retired, why I don't mind being at this time, time is flux, time is a man-made construct. And it's this idea, I love the idea of alternate universes and things like deja vu. We've all suffered deja vu, and it's nobody knows why. Some of these deja vu things are impossible. This is called Flux, and I put this online, Facebook, and someone immediately contacted me and said, oh, I'd like to get this in our... Steel Jackdaw. Jason Conway contacted me and said, I'd really love to get this in our next issue of Steel Jackdaw magazine. So this is called Flux. Somewhere in my past is a future waiting to be found. The sound of memories, some broken, are littered on the ground. My head recoils of thoughts unkind, a life that happened, whether you want it or not. The spot that never heals conceals many flaws and laws that you never knew existed. Watch out, well, I've caught up with you, taking you unawares as you stared into the abyss, trying to see what you might become, long past scared. Crimes with rhymes from time still to be, awaken the dead who are yet to be born. Forlorn hopes and dreams that in the future you had, erasing time before it gets here. But the truth is, that there is no journey. We're all arriving and departing at the same time. If you think, therefore you will be as you are before, as the door to the past and the portal to the future, where sutures help to seal the wound, but some time alone heals them. You can scheme and plan and try to escape. The best is yet to come. And even Ornette Coleman knew, or he will know, that tomorrow is the question. Answer when you can, if you haven't already. Time is flux. It breathes in many places. Checking you out as you check in, it will play with you, toy with you, all the while keeping its eye on you, keeping time, dancing to the same song. Not everyone remembers the music, but I do. And I can put the needle back on the turntable. It's not sliding doors. It's not the fork on the road. It's not a choice. Is it flashback? Flash forward to another time? Or some space? The lives we lead are like tracks in fallen leaves. The glitches that appear in your reality are just ripples. No ghosts. No mysterious shadows. It's neither here, nor there, nor is, was. Death isn't the song's end. Just punctuation. Flux. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Wow. Interesting.
Some of these lines are actually found lines. I mean, the line where... not everybody remembers the music, but I do, and I can put the needle back on the turntable. That was actually a David Bowie quote from some interview or other. So
great.
The rest is all mine, though.
Mm, very interesting. So where can your followers follow you at and tell them more about what else you do? And
well, I have I have a couple of Facebook pages. I have... Finn Hall, just under my name, Finn Hall. And I have Like a Blot from the Blue, which originally was going to be just my poetry page, but they both interact and link over each other. So, and I also, on Insta as well, Finn Hall 14, I have a YouTube page where you can find an awful lot of my work. Good stuff, bad stuff. I often used to just record it and stick it there. You'll find all, I obviously make poetry films as well, where I get lots of other people involved. And they're all on there as well. And that's on Finn Hall, I think it's Finn Hall 14 too. It's at Finn Hall 14 on YouTube. And that's where I am.
All right. Well, thank you. And thank you for coming on to The Journey Artist Around the World. We're just so happy for you to be a part of the show and be a part of everything you do. One more last question is, how does your art impact the world?
Sorry, what was this? Sorry, what was that question?
Yeah, it's just the last one. How does your art impact the world?
How does it contact the world? Wow.
Mm-hmm.
I think, just because I write about things that people know, I write about things that is common to people in the world, and I am always influenced by stuff that goes on in the world. People's rights of all kind of rights, and through the world of Zoom, I have, more people know about me and various places in the world than they probably do in my hometown, and that's fine, that's what happened. And it's just, they're not interested in much, and just, keeping it real with real people, and if they're real people in the world, I want to read my work, see my work, hear my work, then I'm an open door for that.
Wow. Interesting. So thank you guys for coming to the Journey Artists Around the World podcast. I am your host, Deanna the Artist. Yes.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you for asking me. Mm-hmm.
Thank you, and thank you for coming. I am your guest, Kiana the Artist. I am so happy for my guest to come on tonight, all the way from Scotland, from out of another country. So I'm just so happy to be part of his event, and so part he's a part of my event. So I'm so happy and pleased. So once again, thank you guys for coming. Make sure you guys go check out his work, his poetry, his books, all social media. Just check them all out. So we're just saying good night for tonight, and we'll see you guys next time. Bye.
Thank you.
Bye. Have a good night.